The first plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order. I declare open the 69th regular session of the General Assembly. In accordance with Rule 62 of the Rules of Procedure, I invite representatives to stand and observe 1 minute of silence, silent prayer or meditation. Thank you. Your Excellencies, Mr. Secretary General, distinguished colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, today I'm pleased to address this August General Assembly for the first time as President of the 69th session. I'm deeply humbled and honored by the trust you have bestowed upon me and my country, Uganda. I'm convinced that together we will, as member states, achieve a lot over the next 12 months in advancing the core values and principles of the United Nations for the betterment of the world and its peoples. Distinguished colleagues, I'd like to extend my heartfelt thanks to my predecessor, His Excellency John Ash, who presided over the just concluded 68th session of this Assembly. Mr. Ash has worked tirelessly to promote the work of the General Assembly, and on behalf of all member states, I convey your gratitude to him for his dedicated service. I wish in particular thank him for setting the stage with conclusion of intergovernmental processes whose outcomes will provide key inputs for our work in this session. He also handed over to me a compendium with majority activities undertaken in the past year as a foundation on which to build to address outstanding issues. I also thank our Secretary General, His Excellency Ban Ki-moon, for his leadership and dedication and personal commitment towards advancing the agenda of this organization. I look forward to closely working with him and his team and the United Nations system as a whole. The coming year will be a momentous time for the United Nations. We will commemorate the 70th anniversary of its founding, the 20th anniversary of the groundbreaking Beijing Conference, the 15 years since the adoption of the Millennium Declaration, and 10 years since the World Summit of 2005. It is evident that the 69th session will be very busy. In addition to dealing with the normal work of the main committees, we will be preoccupied with negotiations on the post-2015 development agenda. The key inputs will be the outcomes of the Open Working Group on Sustainable Development Goals, the Intergovernmental Committee of Experts on Sustainable Development Financing, the recommendations from the Structured Dialogue on a Technology and Facilitation Mechanism, as well as the forthcoming Secretary General's synthesis report. We also have preparations for and negotiations on the outcome of the third conference on financing for development, which will be held in July 2015 in Addis Ababa, and the climate change negotiations under the auspices of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. While we have a lot of hard work ahead of us, we also have a historic opportunity to formulate a post-2015 development agenda that is transformative, brings tangible benefits, leads to improved livelihoods for all, and contributes to achieving sustainable development in its social, economic, and environmental dimensions. It will also be our responsibility to ensure that adequate means of implementing the agenda in terms of finances, technology development and transfer, and capacity building are mobilized. This will require a strengthened global partnership for development and enhanced cooperation between and amongst member states, the private sector, civil society, and all other stakeholders. It will also require a fair trading regime and promotion of domestic and foreign direct investment in our respective countries. It is for this reason that I chose the theme of the general debate of the 69th session to be delivering on and implementing a transformative post-2015 development agenda. As I address you today in this newly opened magnificent assembly hall, I cannot help but think that we are here at the dawn of a new day. Let us approach this pivotal 69th session with a sense of urgency, hope, and greater cooperation. Let us seize the moment with a firm belief that a better tomorrow is within our reach. Distinguished colleagues, the General Assembly remains the preeminent forum for global debate and cooperation among member states. Let us use this unique environment, as intended, to harness opportunities and to find solutions to the challenges confronting humanity. We can collectively make a significant contribution to this year, towards changing the world we live in for the better, not only for ourselves, but for generations to come. As I emphasized in my acceptance speech last June, we must strive to ensure that the post-2015 development agenda is truly transformative, with the eradication of poverty and hunger and the promotion of sustained and inclusive economic growth as its overarching objectives. It should, as we agreed in the RioPlus20 outcome document, the future we want, be holistic, action-oriented, and universally acceptable, while also paying due attention to regional and national realities. To that end, it is my intention to convene 3 high-level thematic debates and 1 high-level event. The main objective of the debates and event is to provide an opportunity for member states and all relevant stakeholders to have an in-depth deliberation on the selected topics in an interactive and participatory manner, with a view to making contributions to the process of formulating the post-2015 development agenda. I wish to stress that the debates and events will not preempt or prejudge the outcome of the intergovernmental negotiations. The first high-level thematic debate, to be scheduled about February 2015, will be on the means of implementation for the post-2015 development agenda. Achieving sustainable development will require mobilization and effective use of finances, technology development and transfer, as well as capacity building. It will entail increased investments in social sectors, infrastructure, rural development, climate financing, and the protection of global commons, to name but a few. This debate will focus on how to mobilize the significant resources that will be needed to turn the aspirations of the post-2015 development agenda into reality. The second high-level thematic debate, to be held in March, will focus on advancing gender equality and the empowerment of women in the post-2015 development agenda. As highlighted in the outcome document of Rio Plus 20, although progress in gender equality has been made in some areas, the potential of women to engage in, contribute, and to benefit from sustainable development has not been fully realized. In this connection, the debate will provide an opportunity to focus on measures that must be taken to advance gender equality and women's economic and political empowerment at all levels, as well as the importance of education in these endeavors. The third high-level thematic debate to be held in April or May 2015 will address the peaceful settlement of disputes and strengthening cooperation between the United Nations and regional and sub-regional organizations. Over time, we have seen numerous examples of successful cooperation between the UN and the regional and sub-regional organizations, particularly across my home continent in Africa. As I have stated before, such cooperation has yet to reach its full potential and must be substantially strengthened. I also intend to convene in June 2015 a high-level event on combating climate change, which is one of the defining global challenges of our time. To preserve planet Earth for ourselves and succeeding generations, the international community has an obligation to address the effects of climate change, which threaten humankind's very existence. It is important that in this session, we give momentum and add impetus to efforts to reach global agreement in 2015 under the auspices of the UN National Framework Convention on Climate Change. I will provide details, including specific dates, format, as well as background concept notes on each of the high-level thematic debates and event in due course. Excellencies, one of the priorities I highlighted for this session is continuing focus on the revitalization of the General Assembly and the reform of Security Council. While some progress towards making the General Assembly more effective and efficient has been made, we need to do more. In this regard, I have requested the respective chairpersons of the committees to pay great attention to this matter. The need to reform the Security Council is urgent, as reflected in the 2000 World Summit outcome. We need to find a way of making progress in the intergovernmental negotiation process, and I call upon member states to redouble their efforts in this session. As we open this session, the international community is confronted with an unprecedented array of weighty challenges. The list is as lengthy as it is daunting. Poverty and hunger, persistent unemployment, violent armed conflicts, faltering education systems, climate change and rising sea levels, and inadequate infrastructure, just to mention a few. In recent months, we have seen health systems overwhelmed in the face of new dire threats like Ebola, while new challenges to peace and security have emerged with alarming frequency, including a rise in polarization, extremism, and terrorist activities. To say we are living in tumultuous times would seem an understatement. Yet, while the outlook may seem grim and the challenges daunting, we must not allow ourselves to be gripped by fear or despair. Together with the dedication, single-mindedness of purpose and compromise, we can achieve greater things. As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, everything that is done in the world is done by hope. Let us take our hope and as inspiration, our belief in a better future, and tackle these formidable challenges with a sense of resolve and resilience over the next 12 months. Now, more than ever before, the world needs harmony and unity. The world needs optimism and hope. The world needs all our nations and peoples united in peace and prosperity. I thank you for your kind attention. I now give the floor to the Secretary General of the United Nations, His Excellency Ban Ki-moon.
Your Excellency, Mr. Sam Kutesa, President of the General Assembly, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, it is a great honor to join with you in the official opening of the 69th session of the General Assembly. Here in New York, autumn is in the air, but at the United Nations headquarters, it feels like spring. We meet in a newly renovated General Assembly Hall to resolve anew our work to advance the values, principles, and aspirations of the United Nations Charter. Whether autumn or spring, we come together to make this a season of progress. Mr. President, I congratulate you once again on taking up your duties as president of this important session. I have no doubt that with your experience, wisdom, and distinguished service as Foreign Minister of Uganda, you will lead this crucially important session of the General Assembly to a great success, and I very much look forward to working closely with you throughout the coming years as we have been working together. I also want to pay tribute to His Excellency Mr. John Ash for his stewardship over the last tumultuous 12 months as President of the 68th session of the General Assembly. Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I'm convinced that this 69th session of the General Assembly could be the most consequential in a generation and for a generation. The coming year must be a time for action, a time for results. We have important tests before us and high expectations across a range of peace, development, and human rights challenges. And we begin in earnest this month with the vital high-level meetings and gatherings to stem the existential threat of climate change, to advance the rights and opportunities of the world's indigenous peoples, to rally together to improve the health of women and girls, take on Ebola, and address the many peace and security challenges that now plague our world. There is plenty of reason to be uneasy over the state of the world, but there is also plenty of reason for hope. That hope starts here. In this one-of-a-kind and wondrous chamber where the world unites to solve challenges and improve the lives of those who sent us here, we the peoples. Let us resolve to act together to accelerate the progress as the Millennium Development Goals enter their final stretch. Let us join forces to establish a set of sustainable development goals and development agenda that can wipe out extreme poverty over the next 15 years. Let us commit to take on the climate change and leave a cleaner and greener planet for prosperity. Let us spare no efforts to place human rights up front and promote peace and security everywhere and for everyone. Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, our eyes must be open to the world and all its challenges. We see a rising tide of intolerance, of societies closing in on themselves, of groups eager to exploit differences and wage campaigns of hate. This General Assembly stands as the ultimate rebuke to that distorted and venomous view of the world. Here we stand, nations united, to demonstrate that in our interconnected, even smaller, interdependent world, the best way to solve problems is by working together in a more determined way than ever before. By being here, you have shown your commitment to that 21st century truth and command. Now let us prove it through principled and effective action. Thank you for your leadership and commitment. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the Secretary General of the United Nations for his statement. Next, I would like, in keeping with the established practice, to invite the attention of the General Assembly to document A/69/345. It contains a letter from the Secretary General addressed to the President of the General Assembly, in which he informs the Assembly that 5 member states are in arrears in the payment of their financial contributions to the United Nations within the terms of Article 19 of the Charter. I would like to remind delegations that under Article 19 of the Charter, a member of the United Nations which is in arrears in the payment of its financial contributions to the organization shall have no vote in the General Assembly if the amount of its arrears equal or exceed the amount of the contribution due from it for the preceding 2 full years. May I therefore take it that the General Assembly takes note of the information contained in document A/69/374. It is so decided. Rule 28 of the Rules of Procedure provides that the General Assembly, and at the beginning of each session, shall appoint, on the proposal of the President, a credentials committee consisting of 9 members. Accordingly, it is proposed that for the 69th session, the credentials committee should consist of the following member states: Brazil, China, Bangladesh, Denmark, Jamaica, Namibia, Senegal, the Russian Federation, and the United States of America. May I take it that these states that I have just mentioned are hereby appointed members of the Credentials Committee? I see no objection. It is so decided. The Assembly will now turn its attention to document A/69/370, containing a letter dated 2nd September 2014 from the Chair of the Committee on Conferences addressed to the President of the General Assembly. Members are aware that pursuant to Section 1, Paragraph 7 of the Assembly Resolution 40/243, of 18th December 1985, no subsidiary organ of the General Assembly should be permitted to meet at the United Nations headquarters during the main part of the regular session of the Assembly unless explicitly authorized by the General Assembly. On the strict understanding that meetings would have to be accommodated within available facilities and services, authorization is thus sought for the following subsidiary organs: 1, the Preparatory Committee for the 3rd United Nations Conference on Housing and Sustainable Urban Development, Habitat 3. 2, Intergovernmental Preparatory Committee for the 10-year Review Conference on Implementation of AMITE Program of Action. 3, the panel of external auditors of the United Nations, the specialized agencies, and the International Atomic Energy Agencies. 4, the board of auditors. 5, the assembly of the state parties to the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. 6, the disarmament commission. 7, the independent audit advisory committee. 8, the Executive Board of the United Nations Entity for Gender Equality and Empowerment of Women, UN Women. 9, the Committee of the Exercise of Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian Peoples. 10, the Working Group on the Financing of the United Nations Relief and Work Agencies for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East, and 11, the Committee on Relations with the Host Country. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to authorize these subsidiary organs of the Assembly to meet during the main part of the 69th session of the General Assembly? I see no objection. It is so decided. The first plenary meeting of the General Assembly at its 69th session is now concluded.
Successful. Thank you. Thank you.